Chapter 14, Evolution. What have we become? I have come to know many social workers in my guardian ad litem work. I am forever amazed at the terrific amount of energy they have for the children they work with. I have one worker friend, Ginny, who was treated very badly by her 11-year-old state ward, Nancy. Even after 18 months of being positively abused by this poor, disturbed child, Ginny would smile and treat her ward as if she were her very favorite state ward child. I know that the terrible things said to her by Nancy injured my friend. It always hurts me to see unnecessary suffering. It takes great strength to work with disturbed children. Part of the job description of social worker includes being stolen from, lied to, sworn at, and in many ways abused. Invisible children are hurting, and they don't know how to lessen their pain. So the pain is transferred to the people around them. I wish to thank every social worker who has had the desire and the courage it takes to be a friend and a surrogate parent to the often difficult and sometimes impossible children they work with. We live in an age remarkable for its desensitization. TV and newspapers bombard us with the violence and distraction. We live in fear. Families in the poorer parts of the city talk about not moving from their chairs when they hear gunfire because shootings are so common. Children play indoors on beautiful spring days because they live in drug-dealing neighborhoods with fear and violence. Of all the industrialized countries, for many years America has ranked at or near the very bottom for lifting children out of poverty, child mortality, and child literacy. It is ironic that the most religious nation in the industrialized world maintains a great love for guns, capital punishment, gambling, and a tacit acceptance of policies that are so contrary to the well-being of its most vulnerable citizens. The U.S. is tied with Ecuador and Suriname for 39th in enrollment in early childhood care and education for 3 to 5-year-olds. The U.S. spends about 4% of its gross domestic product on social programs and has a child poverty rate of 22%. France and Belgium spend 10% and have child poverty rates below 8%. Sweden spends 18% and has a child poverty rate below 5%. America spends a much smaller percentage of its gross domestic product on social programs than almost any other industrialized nation. We also suffer a far greater child poverty rate than most other industrialized nations. Jonathan Swift, the Irish satirist author, wrote an outrageous proposal to have poor Irish people sell their children at birth to make a nice stew for rich English people. He argued that it would save poor parents the pain of watching their children suffer in an unkind world, put money in their pockets, and provide the wealthy with a good meal. It was an awful satire at the time when most Irish babies were living and dying in poverty. Los Angeles, California experienced almost 50 drive-by shootings a month in 1993. 7 million Americans are now in the federal prison system. Between 1 out of 4 and 1 out of 6 Americans are the victims of a crime every year. New York, Detroit, Compton, and Houston bear the distinction of having had between 1 out of 2 and 1 out of 3 residents the victim of a crime in their city. Americans have become casual about brutality when it does not affect them directly. Avoiding these hard truths gives us no net gain. It is a costly failure to ignore the great suffering of these children and the adults they become. We are still proud of our get tough on crime mentality. The rest of the industrialized world views our attitudes and statistics as outrageous and our social policies as uncivilized. No ethical argument exists for not seeking rehabilitation, the execution of juveniles, or excessive mandatory minimum sentences for drug violations. We alone in the industrialized world feel that we have to be hard on criminals. It is hard to predict the evolution of America and our standard of living based on the competition of emerging and first world nations. It is safe to assume that squandering the large and growing percentage of our nation's gross domestic product, lost human capital, and the human suffering of crime and incarceration will hold us back and make us less competitive. It is apparent that we are not competitive in quality of life indices as of today. Within 5 to 10 years, the growth of the European common market, China, India, and the South American nations will all become much more competitive on the world markets. these nations are dead serious about their positions in the world. The standard of living in these nations is tied directly to the efficiency and capacity to produce, as determined by the people who live here. If an unreasonably large percentage of Americans are living in institutions, costing the nation billions and producing nothing, we all lose. A great many Americans are earning full-time wages that are below the poverty level. With the disappearance of long-term employment, very few poor or lower-middle-class Americans will have adequate insurance or any retirement income other than Social Security. Children bear the brunt of the growing cultural and economic disparities. For many years, America has remained last or near last in lifting children out of poverty. Children born into poverty are behind their peers when they begin school in vocabulary and IQ. Catching up demands an even playing field once they start school. We have not made educating poor children a priority, and we continue to pay the price. Call to action. Are your community and religious leaders speaking out for the weakest and most vulnerable among us? We need our churches, schools, state, and county social service agencies to reach out at a grassroots level to attract and provide for those children with the greatest needs. Do your part to help get it done.